Assalamualaikum, salam sejahtera. Anda bersama saya Marlina Manaf dalam Niaga Awani. Sebelum ke perkembangan niaga, kita akan mulakan dengan perkembangan terkini rayuan bekas Perdana Menteri Datuk Seri Najib Tun Razak yang disambung hari ini. Dan semalam sebenarnya Mahkamah Rayuan diberitahu bahawa bekas Perdana Menteri Datuk Seri Najib Tun Razak terlibat secara peribadi dalam keputusan dua mesyuarat Jemaah Menteri bagi meluluskan jaminan kerajaan kepada kumpulan wang persaraan diperbadankan KWAP. Dan untuk perkembangan terkini, kita bersama wartawan kami di lokasi, Firdaus Azil. Firdaus, apa yang boleh dikongsikan pada jam ini? Silakan.
Okey, baik, terima kasih Malina di Bukit Jalil. Sebelum itu, seperti yang Malina maklumkan, saya berada di pekarangan Istana Kehakiman untuk mengikuti prosiding rayuan, yang mana hari ini merupakan hari kedua untuk pasukan pendakwaan membalas, menyediakan, membentangkan hujah balas terhadap apa juga yang telah dikemukakan oleh pasukan pembelaan pada minggu lepas, yang mana seperti Malina sebutkan bahawa strategi pendakwaan ialah untuk menyebut bagaimana bekas Perdana Menteri Datuk Seri Najib Tun Razak menyalahgunakan kuasa bagi melibatkan diri dalam dua majlis mesyuarat majlis jemaah kabinet bagi meluluskan jaminan kerajaan kepada kumpulan wang persaraan diperbadankan ataupun KUAP yang bernilai secara keseluruhannya merupakan RM4 bilion, yang mana kedua-dua mesyuarat itu berlangsung pada 17 Ogos 2011 dan 8 Februari 2012 bagi membincangkan permohonan jaminan kerajaan yang dipohon oleh SRC International Sdn Bhd, yang mana beliau seperti yang dihujahkan oleh pasukan pendakwaan merupakan penasihat emeritus dan juga secara tidak langsung mempunyai interest terhadap SRC International, yang mana ini menurut ketua pendakwaan Datuk Sitambaram bahawa tindakan bekas Perdana Menteri itu jelas adalah salah guna kuasa menurut Seksyen 23(1) Akta Suruhanjaya Pencegahan Rasuah Malaysia SPRM 2009, yang mana Sitambaram juga berkata Najib juga mempunyai kuasa mutlak terhadap SRC International termasuk mengambil alih dan memecat pengarah memandangkan perlembagaan syarikat membenarkan tindakan itu. Itu antara yang telah dibangkitkan oleh pasukan pendakwaan semalam, dan hari ini kita jangkakan bahawa pendakwaan akan menyentuh lagi beberapa perkara yang telah dibangkitkan oleh pasukan pembelaan pada minggu lepas. Jadi sebarang kemas kini, Malina akan saya sediakan untuk buletin-buletin seterusnya, Malina.
Baik, terima kasih Firdaus Azil, dan terus ikuti kami di sepanjang hari ini bagi perkembangan terkini rayuan bekas Perdana Menteri Datuk Seri Najib Tun Razak yang masuki hari kedua hari ini. Kita akan teruskan dengan laporan selepas ini. Baik, kita teruskan dengan perkembangan niaga. Saham di Bursa Amerika ditutup bercampur pada Rabu dengan Nasdaq dan S&P 500 mencatatkan kejatuhan. Dan ini biarpun dengan dagangan harian tertinggi dan bank mencatatkan keputusan yang baik pada hari pertama laporan korporat.
Menurut pakar strategi di MAI Capital, pelabur telah menjangka pendapatan bank akan meningkat susulan peningkatan pendapatan perbankan pelaburan. Pada penutup, indeks Dow Jones naik 53 mata, Nasdaq jatuh 138 mata dan S&P 500 jatuh 16 mata. Sementara itu, platform dagangan Bitcoin dan mata wang digital lain Coinbase Global dengan sekitar 56 juta pengguna di serata dunia disenarai di Nasdaq. Harga seunit saham Coinbase ditutup pada $328 seunit berbanding harga panduan pada $250 seunit. Nilai pasaran Coinbase pada penutup adalah sekitar $86 bilion berbanding pemilik NYSE Intercontinental Exchange pada sekitar $66 bilion.
Baik, ekonomi Amerika dijangka terus tumbuh apabila negara berkenaan memasuki musim bunga. Ini turut disokong peningkatan keyakinan pengguna. Dan menurut laporan The Fed, ekonomi terbesar dunia itu dilandasan yang betul untuk capai pemulihan kukuh dan peningkatan pekerjaan dijangka dalam bulan-bulan akan datang. Dan tambahnya, dalam laporan Beach Book, aktiviti ekonomi Februari ke April meningkat akibat kenaikan jumlah orang yang divaksin. Sokongan lain termasuk pelan fiskal Amerika bernilai $1.9 trilion. Peningkatan penggajian pekerja baru turut dicatatkan dalam sektor pembuatan, pembinaan dan hospitaliti. Dan untuk mendapatkan analisis pasaran berkenaan Coinbase, data inflasi Amerika Syarikat, data dagangan China serta kesan pasaran, kita bersama Stephen Innes, Ketua Strategi Pasaran Global Aksi. Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. First of all, Coinbase made its debut on Nasdaq. And tell us more about that. And what do you make of the interest shown?
Sure, I think we're well past the cycle where to be bearish on Bitcoin is coming across as quite dumb. But I'd be remiss not to point out when it comes to IPOs getting issued by industry leaders, it's not necessarily an absolute bullish signal. It could be interpreted as a sign that a lot of the juice has been squeezed out of the market, and the upper management feel that it's time to sell part of the company off. So although the initial offering went off quite remarkably well with like 86 billion market cap, I think there's still potential downside here. I look at these stocks as highly elevated, and just like any other tech sector stocks, they're very, very much at the mercy of higher interest rates. And I think higher interest rates are going to be the norm as we move through this cycle through 21 into 22. So I'm a little bit reticent on new IPO issues around the tech sector.
Well, Bitcoin also went up around $63,000 a unit the day before Coinbase was listed. Has the listing of Coinbase created more confidence in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies?
I think what it offered was an opportunity for those people that are unwilling to buy Bitcoin but feel more comfortable buying stocks that have a proxy attachment to Bitcoin. I think there was obviously, you had a big rally in anticipation, and then the juice kind of comes out, the froth kind of comes off the top of the market. And I think this is why we saw Bitcoin's correct downwards, slightly downwards after that mini super cycle that they went off. It's very, very typical, again, of how Bitcoin trades. It really trades on buy the rumor, then sell the news. And this is probably going to be part and parcel of how Bitcoin is going to be performed. But as I said at the beginning here of my statement, I think it's a little bit crazy now to be completely bearish on Bitcoin, because I think it's proven that it's here to stay. And this could very well prove to be a coming out party for Bitcoin as more people start to embrace the overall nature of Bitcoin, whether it's through stock proxies or whether it's through coins itself. These are very, very positive signals for long-term trends in Bitcoin all around.
Well, we've seen the numbers. Inflation in the U.S. in March increased at a moderate pace of around 0.6%. Well, will this calm investor looking at how far the inflation rate is from the target set by the Fed over 2% for a longer period?
Yeah, I think it's just whether it remains transitory or not. I think all signs are pointing to it being transitory. If we look at higher commodity prices as being the principal driver behind most of the inflation push, sure, higher oil prices have contributed. Those prices tend to diminish over time. The factor of those prices tend to diminish over time. And obviously, the supply chain issues that we've had that are driving commodity prices higher are going to be alleviated once COVID becomes under control and ports open up a little bit more freely. So these are factors that we view as transitory. What we don't know is how the input pressures are going to get passed on to the consumer. I think the Beige Book highlighted that between February and April, firms are passing these higher costs on to consumers. Really what it all comes down to is how bond markets react to three principal inputs in inflation. One is whether input prices get passed on to the consumer by corporates. Two, whether the Fed's credibility through their inflation average inflation mandate targeting holds up. That credibility, by all accounts, has continued to hold up. And third,
will energy prices remain within the $60 to $70 sweet spot? Higher energy prices are just an open reason for inflation to go higher.
Well, this also pushed U.S. bond yields down. How will this help growth stocks?
Well, you know, bond yields really are probably a little bit oversold. What I mean is that investors had sold bond yields anticipating yields to go up much higher. So when the market get into this, what we refer to oversold condition, when the data impulses didn't extraordinarily beat expectations, there was short covering of these positions. I think right now what we're seeing is more of a technical market reaction right now, where a lot of the higher yield anticipation is coming off because the market looks like the yields are going to go rising slower. And I think this is okay for stock markets. If yields continue to rise, that's fine because it's rising because of growth. However, if yields start to rise because of inflation, it'll shoot up a lot much quicker. And this is really what disturbs the proverbial apple cart. Right now, the apple cart's not getting disturbed.
Moving on to stock analysis, NASDAQ and the S&P 500 were closed slightly lower earlier today, despite the positive earnings reports by big banks in the U.S. Did investors price in these reports?
Yeah, you know, the bank earnings reports are going to be great. Look, by all accounts, they're going to have a massive trading profit boom because of so much trading activity going on in the markets, and higher interest rates contribute to the normal type of banking practices that really support the underlying nature of commercial banking. So when investment banking, commercial banking are both working good, the numbers are going to be good. I think what the hiccup last night was because of tech stocks. Tech stocks came off a little bit because yields nudged up a little bit. And as I mentioned earlier, higher yields are negative for these longer duration assets that tech stocks are getting categorized in.
But what can we expect from the other corporate reports this week, and how will that guide investors?
You know, growth is exceptionally good right now, and by all accounts, this pent-up spending splurge by consumers that are going to come out as we move into the summer, not only in the U.S. and also in Europe, is going to really support corporate earnings. I expect we're going to see earnings meet and exceed expectations, and this should ultimately be good for stocks. The big worry, of course, is not so much in April, but when we move into May and June, these are peak data seasons. Will the data inflections be sufficiently strong enough that the market thinks that this could adjust the Fed's future guidance? In other words, would the Fed turn a little bit more hawkish? Right now, they're maximum dovish. And this seems to really be soothing the markets. Anything in the market, any hiccup we have in the market, this continues to soothe any disturbance. But will the Fed start to show willingness to pull off that easy money policy? That's really the big question.
Mm-hmm. Stephens, China's export grew by 30% in March, was supported by the higher PMI index in the U.S. and many other economies. Jerome Powell also said that the U.S. economy is at an inflation point and a stronger recovery is expected. Are things looking rosier now? What are the headwinds expected?
Yeah, I mean, it's really great. I mean, you know, obviously the pent-up demand that we mentioned is going to really, really drive the economy. The problem is what happens after the summer. Do we have a pent-up boom and then things drop off? That's yet to be seen. The PM numbers are not, in my view, that surprising. Coming off an extremely low base, purchasing managers have to restock and start making more products, so this is quite normal. But I think there is more to go here. I think the runway catalyst is a little bit longer for stocks and also for economic activity. You know, the vaccines are just starting to roll out across the world. Over here in Asia, they're still well behind the curve. There's going to be a lot of catch-up plays in the reopening baskets. I think the travel basket is the one to keep an eye on. I think once we get more vaccines rolled out in Malaysia, more vaccines rolled out up here in Thailand, and more vaccines rolled out in other travel destinations, this will be very, very good for local markets. And this is what we have to look for encouraging over in this part of the world. But by all accounts, with the Fed looking to cover folks at the margin of the economy to get them back working again, I think the overall economy in the U.S. is going to continue on fine.
Will the suspension of the Johnson & Johnson vaccines perhaps disrupt that recovery process?
Yeah, it's very possible because these are very, very key. Remember, these AstraZeneca, Johnson type vaccines are the ones that don't really need a lot of refrigeration. And these are actually good types of vaccines for transporting globally. And my feeling is here is if there is a pullback, there will be a disruption. But there are other vaccines that are able to ramp up, but it'll be slower to reach herd immunity. So again, the reopening narrative gets pushed back a little bit longer. But, you know, this is just the way things go in this COVID. We sometimes get a little bit of ahead of our steps, but we have to pull the reins back in. But overall, I think the medical community has done a wonderful job. And now it's really up to us to maintain our social distancing and you know, washing our hands and simple stuff like that so that we don't spread or don't catch the virus from here until we can all get vaccinated.
Well, we have to acknowledge that more people have received their COVID-19 vaccine and the weather is getting warmer. Could this also push people to go out more and spend a bit more?
Well, you know, we just saw that happen. Although it's hot over here all the time, but we just saw that happen up here in Thailand, for instance, where people got a little bit overconfident and everybody was flocking into the bars and all of a sudden we have a super spreader. This is what we have to watch out to, not only bars, but where other public gatherings occur. We have to be very, very vigilant to maintain social distancing and probably not go to restaurants or social gatherings where you're going to be in a confined area. This is the problem. This is going to continue to be a problem in the recovery. As again, as I said, it's up to us, not the government. The government can do what they need to do to get the vaccines rolled up. But really, we still have to defend ourselves at this phase of the recovery, and that requires wearing masks, and that requires very simple procedure of just washing your hands with hand sanitizer. So, you know, we get it over here. I mean, I think Asia, we understand it quite well over here.
Okay. Thank you, Stephen, for your time today. Dan demikian tadi Stephen Innes, Ketua Strategi Pasaran Global Aksi, bagi mengulas tentang analisis pasaran berkenaan Coinbase, data inflasi Amerika Syarikat, data dagangan China serta kesan pasaran. Dan kita ke laporan seterusnya, Ketua Pengarah Organisasi Dagangan Dunia WTO menggesa negara kaya dan pengeluar vaksin COVID-19 untuk meningkatkan pengeluaran. Menurut Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala, ketika ini negara pendapatan rendah hanya memberikan 0.2% atau sekitar 1.4 juta dos berbanding 700 juta dos vaksin diberikan negara-negara kaya. Antara cadangan WTO termasuk peranan lebih besar dimainkan badan dunia itu melihat kepada larangan ekspor dan kekurangan tenaga pakar. Tambahnya, isu vaksin ini berdepan cabaran dan perlukan kesungguhan politik serta kerjasama sektor swasta. Tambahnya, ahli WTO perlu kurangkan larangan ekspor dan memudahkan proses kustom serta logistik. Cadangan lain termasuk daripada India, Afrika dan 80 negara WTO lain agar harta intelek berkenaan vaksin COVID-19 ditangguhkan. Namun, pengeluar vaksin nyatakan yang langkah ini akan sukarkan mereka untuk mendapat dana untuk meningkatkan pengeluaran vaksin baru. Ahli WTO dilaporkan telah bincang isu ini sebanyak 8 kali tanpa sebarang keputusan. Baik, terdahulu Organisasi Kesihatan Pan Amerika atau PAHO mengecam situasi kritikal dihadapi negara-negara Amerika Latin disebabkan akses tidak sama terhadap vaksin COVID-19. Organisasi itu menggesa solidariti dalam mengakhiri perbezaan tersebut sebagai sebahagian daripada pengawalan pandemik seluruh dunia. Penolong pengarah PAHO, Dr. Javas Babusa berkata, senario terburuk adalah varian baru tidak dapat dilindungi oleh vaksin dibangunkan ketika ini.
Nenhum país vai estar efetivamente protegido se todos não estão protegidos. Se país alcança vacunar 90% de sua população, pero sigue la transmisión en otras regiones, puede ser que aparezca completamente ao acaso una variante que no es cubierta por aquella vacuna y ese país rico va a tener todo el esfuerzo que hice sin efectividad. O sea, no es solamente una necesidad ética, moral, pero también una necesidad sanitaria, tener el control en todas las partes del mundo.
Pada minggu lalu terdapat lebih daripada 1.3 juta kes coronavirus di Amerika, lebih tinggi daripada purata mingguan tertinggi yang dicatatkan pada tahun 2020. Sementara itu, dalam 7 hari terakhir, hampir 36,000 orang meninggal dunia, melebihi angka mingguan pada tahun 2020. Amerika Syarikat merupakan negara dengan kes paling banyak di dunia, diikuti oleh India dan Brazil. Tetapi antara yang paling terjejas di wilayah Amerika Latin adalah Argentina, Colombia, Meksiko, Peru, Bolivia, Chile, Paraguay dan Uruguay. Baik, negawani berhenti rehat seketika, kembali selepas ini.